Part 2, Chapter 7. The summer heat dried out the mud. White clouds spotted the skies above the cage. But Johnny had no time for them. His whole concentration was on the teaching machine. He had gotten the huge chair shifted around, and by lifting the seat height with folded skins, he could hunch over the table, close-facing the old Chinko who, in the picture, fawned in an agony of politeness as he taught. Mastering the alphabet in English was quite a trick, but mastering it in Cyclo was even worse. Far, far easier to trail game by its signs and know, almost to the minute, how long ago it had passed and what it was doing. These signs and symbols were fixed, deathless, on a screen, and the meanings that they gave were unbelievably complex. In a week, he thought he had it. He had begun to hope. He had even commenced to believe that it was easy.
B is for bats. C is for zoo. H is for hats. And Y is for you.
And by going over the same text in Cyclo, the bats, zoos, hats, and yous became, a little incomprehensibly, pens, shovels, kerbango, and females. But when he finally grasped, under the Chinko's groveling tutelage, that Cyclo words for hats, zoos, and bats would start with different letters, he knew he had it. He at length could lie back and rattle off the alphabet in English. Then he could, with a bit of squinting, sit up and rattle off the Cyclo alphabet in Cyclo, and with all the different nuances of how they sounded. Johnny knew he mustn't take too long at this. The diet of raw meat would eventually do him in. He was close to semi-starvation, since he could barely bring himself to eat it. The monster would come and watch him a little while each day. While he was there, Johnny was silent. He knew he must sound funny while he drilled, and the monster's laughter made the back of his hair stand up. So he would be very quiet under that scrutiny from outside the cage. It was a mistake. The monster's eye bones behind the breathe mask plate were coming closer and closer together with a growing frown. The triumph of the alphabet was short-lived. At the end of it, the monster, one beautiful bright day, yanked open the door of the cage and came roaring in like a storm. It yelled at Johnny for minutes on end, the cage bars shaking. Johnny expected a cuff, but he didn't cringe when the monster's paw snaked out. But it was reaching for the machine, not Johnny. It yanked the lever down into a second stage that Johnny had never suspected. A whole new set of pictures and sounds leaped out. The old Chinko said, in English,
"I am sorry, honored student, and forgive my arrogance, but we will now begin the drill of progressive cross-association of objects, symbols, and words."
And there was a new sequence of pictures.
H.
The sound for H, the picture of H, began to follow one another at a slow interval. Then the Cyclo letter that had an H-like sound began to repeat, in sound and picture. And then they went faster and faster until they were an almost indistinguishable blur. Johnny was so astonished he did not realize the monster had left. Here was a new thing. The lever was so big and resistive he had not realized that all this lurked just beyond another thrust of pressure. Well, if a little push down would do that, what happened with a little push up? He tried it. He almost blew his head off. It took him quite a space of travel of the sun-made bar shadows to get brave enough to try it again. Same thing. It almost knocked him off the chair. Holding back, he stared at the thing suspiciously. What was it that came out of it? Sunlight? He tried it again and let it hit his hand. Warm. Tingling. Carefully staying off to the side, he saw that pictures were appearing in the frames, and he heard in the weirdest way, sort of with his head, not his ears.
Beneath the level of your consciousness, the alphabet will now go in A, B,
What was this? Was he hearing through his hand? No, that couldn't be. He wasn't hearing at all, except for that meadowlark. Soundless somethings were coming from the machine. He moved a little further back. The impression was less. He moved closer. He felt that his brains were frying.
Now we will do the same sounds in Cyclo.
Johnny went over to the furthest extension of his chain and sat down against the wall. He thought and thought about it. He grasped at last that the cross-association drill of symbols, sounds, and words was to get him very fast and then faster and faster, so he did not have to grope for what he had been taught, but would be able to use it without hesitation. But this shaft of sunlight coming out of the machine? He got braver. He went back and found a disc that must be very advanced and put it on. Bracing himself, he grimly pushed the lever all the way up. Suddenly, he knew that if all three sides of a triangle were equal, all its enclosed three angles were also equal. He backed up. Never mind what a triangle was or an angle, he now knew. He went back and sat down against the wall. Suddenly, he reached out with his finger and drew in the dust a three-pointed shape. He poked a finger at each inside bend. He said, wonderingly,
"They're equal."
Equal what? Equal each other. So what? Maybe it was valuable. Johnny gazed at the machine. It could teach him in the ordinary way. It could teach him by speeding the lesson up. And it could teach him very smoothly and instantly with a beam of sunlight. Abruptly, an unholy joy began to light his face. Alphabet? He had to learn the whole civilization of the Cyclos. Did that monster realize why he wanted it? Life became a long parade of discs, stacks of discs. Every hour not needed for sleep was spent at the table, with straight picture learning, with progressively speeding cross-association, with the piercing beams of sunlight. Half-starved, his sleep was restless. Nightmares of dead cyclos were intertwined with raw rats chasing mechanical horses that flew. And the discs went round and round. But Johnny kept on. Kept on cramming years of education into weeks and months. There was so much to know. He had to grasp it all. And with only one goal in mind, vengeance for the destruction of his race. Could he learn enough, fast enough, to accomplish his purpose?